The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
So, welcome to a new edition of Thought Crime Radio, probably the only radio show in the world that deals, at least so far, has dealt solely with the human rights of human infants at the mercy of the medical industrial establishment. And people who have listened to the show for a while know what I'm talking about, that the science is lacking and the humanity is lacking in a lot of these procedures that they subject babies to, and we as a society are paying a heavy price for it. And in the studio with me is Janelle, and I'm Rich.
Hello.
And I'm just twiddling the dials and pressing the buttons here.
Glad to have you with us again. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. So before we go to our main guest here, I'd just like to cover a few medical-related headlines. Last week at the beginning of the show, I was talking about how CBS had discovered that the overwhelming majority of the respiratory illnesses attributed to swine flu by the CDC turned out to be something else. The CDC actually told the state's health authorities to stop testing for swine flu and just report all serious colds as swine flu. But when Cheryl Atkinson, a reporter for CBS News, actually contacted the health authorities in all 50 states, she discovered that the overwhelming majority of those cases that were tested turned out to be the seasonal flu or something else entirely. Now we have word that the head of the Health Commission of the European Council has called for hearings into what he describes as a false pandemic. Reading from the UK's Daily Mail of January 18th, it says, the swine flu outbreak was a false pandemic driven by drug companies that stood to make millions of pounds from a worldwide scare, a leading health expert has claimed. Wolfgang Woodarg, head of health at the Council of Europe, accused the makers of flu drugs and vaccines of influencing the World Health Organization's decision to declare a pandemic. This led to the pharmaceutical firms ensuring enormous gains while countries, including the UK, squandered their meager health budgets with millions being vaccinated against a relatively mild disease. He also claims that to further their interests, leading drug companies placed their people in the cogs of the World Health Organization and other influential organizations. Dr. Woodarg said, quote, in order to promote their patented drugs and vaccines against flu, pharmaceutical companies have influenced scientists and official agencies responsible for public health standards to alarm governments worldwide. They have made them squander tight healthcare resources for inefficient vaccine strategies and needlessly exposed millions of healthy people to the risk of unknown side effects of insufficiently tested vaccines. So this, for some reason, isn't getting any play in the American media. Not surprisingly, I guess. It's my understanding that the CDC also has a revolving door arrangement with pharmaceutical companies, with many of their advisors actually holding financial holdings in various vaccine stocks. And you may remember that the CDC was actually considering forcible vaccinations for swine flu. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. And regarding the health care bill currently under negotiation in Congress, the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine was interviewed on Bill Moyer's show last Friday. She states, What this bill does is not only permit the commercial insurance industry to remain in place, but it actually expands and cements their position as the linchpin of health care reform. Not only does it keep them in place, but it pours about $500 billion of public money into these companies over 10 years. And it mandates that people buy these companies' products for whatever they charge. And aside from excluding the public option, which is essentially Medicare for all, which is a tried and proven and highly efficient approach, the current bill also includes a clause which would prevent the states from exploring their own alternatives to the federal health insurance program. It seems the corporate lobbyists have been out in force lately. Finally, the Joint Judiciary Committee of the Massachusetts Legislature is currently deliberating a bill which would outlaw infant circumcision, which, as regular listeners to this show know, happens to involve the amputation of the Frenar band, F-R-E-N-A-R band, the primary erogenous zone of the male body. You can do this. You can Google for this. So the USA is the only country in the world which routinely performs this torturous child abuse for alleged medical reasons. I wonder how many parents would consent to circumcision if they knew that it amounted to a sexual lobotomy and is very likely tied in with these skyrocketing divorce rates in this country. You can see why medicine isn't about to spill the beans on this. The Massachusetts committee is due to vote on the measure next Monday. For more information, see www.mgmbill.org. And that ties into the main topic of the show today, which of course is the barbaric, unscientific, and inhumane practice of obstetrical medicine in this country, a free-for-all against non-consenting children. On the phone we have Elena Tonetti Vladimirova, the director and producer of an awe-inspiring and groundbreaking film called Birth as We Know It. which has been translated into 12 languages and is being distributed in 54 countries. She was one of the co-founders of the Conscious Birth Movement in Russia in 1982 and travels the world teaching, quote, birth into being workshops, which often lead to ecstatic birth experiences for both parents. And she's just returned from, I think, a month-long tour of Asia. And if I can figure out how to get her on the air here. So I press this button here.
Green button.
The green button. Elena, are you there? Elena?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Now I can.
All right.
Thank you very much for appearing on the show.
My pleasure.
Hi, Elena. Thank you for being
Hi.
Here.
Hi.
I was wondering if I could just play a minute or so of the lead-in to your film on
sure.
the air here. I think because it's so awesome, it's so inspiring. I think it would.
thank you.
So here we go. Let's see if I can get this on the air. CD one, channel B.
A pregnant woman is participating in an event of miraculous significance. She is bringing into existence a new life that did not exist before. The quality of this life will be defined by the quality of birth. The genius of her body is designed to give birth with ease and grace. In our soft, warm hands, we are holding the keys to our future. Natural birth is a powerful initiation, a rite of passage for all involved. Within the sacred act of birth lies a pathway to the pure potentiality of life. This is birth as nature knows it. This is birth as we know it.
So, that's the.
It sounds good.
this film is just awe-inspiring, and it was one of the first birth films I saw, and it really piqued my interest in this whole movement. So, so you were one of the founders of the natural birth movement in Russia back in the 80s. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, that I was helping organizing what seemed to be a good idea, relieving the pain from laboring women, and it wasn't really about water or about women. It was all about babies, because the man who came up with the concept of water birth and natural birth was explaining to me in 1982 the whole concept of prenatal psychology was, none of it was written at that time or translated into Russian. It's just this man, Igor Cherkovsky, pioneered the concept of water birth in 1962, and I happened to be in the right place at the right time, stumbling upon his efforts, and I just stopped everything I was doing and started helping him, because he was able to get through to me about the implications, what terrible birth has on the quality of our civilization. He was basically saying that the words a woman should suffer in birth should not have been, that it was some kind of misinterpretation, misunderstanding, maybe wrong translation of the original text. He was saying that the birth through suffering creates a programming in the infant on suffering. So if we are greeted with harshness, then harshness becomes our norm. And if the doctor is the first person we see, that's where we will continue seeking comfort. That mechanism later got a name, limbic imprint. Are you familiar with that concept?
In the animal kingdom, it's widely accepted that newborn animals imprint.
Well, we are as much of mammals as they are. And that mammalian part of us has the same neurophysiological, biological, chemical, hormonal mechanism that drives the elephants and horses and circus bears and dogs obey humans because they were trained in early age for specific behaviors. So if the elephant is running onto the arrows in a war zone, it doesn't mean that this animal thinks it's normal. It's just that animal was trained to perceive war as a norm. So this mechanism was used by people for thousands of years consciously to train animals, and unconsciously to train soldiers and slaves. It was actually, circumcision was used in Africa for 5,000 years to train and brand slaves. It didn't start in the Middle East. It started in a Dogon tribe.
Do you think it has a similar social function today in the Western world?
I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, me too.
How else do you explain the amount of wars on our planet? And as far as slavery goes, actually the numbers of slaves in our day and age are exceeding any numbers of slaves in any previous historical times. We have more slaves today than we ever had in the history of humankind. We don't have legal slavery, but the actual slavery of people, I just seen it all over Asia. I just spent over 2 months traveling in many Asian countries, and the picture is not pretty.
What kind of slaves are you talking about?
Sweatshops, just domestic slaves, people who don't have any power of choice, of education, of access to clean water, that they have to work really, really, really hard all day for a bowl of rice. And they're not technically called slaves, but what else is it?
In the United States, we aren't technically called slaves either, and yet all of us are born into bondage to a system of debt, which can print money on demand. You know, money does grow on trees, and yet somehow we're trading our future for. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's not a pretty picture. I'm traveling a lot, and I'm seeing what's happening around the world, like this here. I have 17 events in 12 countries, and that doesn't seem to be an exceptional year. That's just how it is. So what I am seeing is that worldwide, on every continent, there is a specific form of disempowering of women that does not allow them to give birth in dignity, with full responsibility for what is happening. In some countries, actually in most of the third world countries, C-section rates are nearing 85% to 95%. I'm taking a deep breath on this one, because the C-section is a sort of a setup on the technocratic view of the world. When the baby's body is chemically or mechanically extracted out of the mother's body, there is a lot of missing steps that will show up in the emotional and psychological level in the adult life of that person. So the situation with vaccination, with circumcision, with our habit of giving our power away is basically based in our formative period, when we're unconsciously being conditioned into being disempowered. So the whole issue of birth was never about just birth. What I'm understanding is that the way we're born creates a specific level of dependency and submissiveness. So when we're raising our hand on the birthing practice, we're basically raising our hand on the status quo, on the way things are in our civilization, because our ability to thrive depends on our sense of well-being that we acquire or do not acquire in the formative period from the moment of conception, including the moment of conception, through entire gestation, through the actual process of birth, which sort of reinforces the energy of that limbic imprint, and through the first, I think, 5 years of life. There is many research done that limits that time to first month or first week or first year. The bravest are saying that it's first 3 years. But in my 28 years of working with people, I'm seeing that events that happen to people as late as 5, 6, 7, 8 years old are still being recapitulated throughout their whole entire life.
This is a subtle idea that seems to escape most people, and but it's certainly important. It's profoundly important to our survival as a species. You know, I forgot to introduce my co-host to you because I forgot that you were offline when I said her name. Anyway, her name is Janelle, and she is a local birth consultant. Janelle.
Yep. Hi, Elena.
Hi, Janelle.
How are you doing? We're actually in the same group in Nevada City of the Birth and Early Parenting Educators with the Chamberlains. It's nice to have you on.
Hi, Janelle.
We've been doing this show since August, and we're nowhere near running out of material dealing with obstetrical abuse.
Elena, I looked at your film again today, and I have to tell you that I think your film is one of the best birth films out there right now, that if I were going to recommend people watch one film, it would be yours.
Thank you.
And what struck me again today is the focus on conscious birthing from conception and beyond. And we have a lot of listeners, and we talk a lot about natural birth and home birth versus hospital birth and technological birth. But you've taken it to another step, and you're talking about conscious birth. Could you tell our listeners about conscious birth, how that's different from just natural birth?
Well, conscious birth means that the baby actually was conceived consciously, which implies that parents were actually preparing for the incoming soul, incoming human being, that they were consciously looking into each other's eyes and seeing that unborn child wanting to come through and being absolutely on the same page about this, that there is resentment, there is no hesitation, which means that this baby will feel wanted and ecstatic about coming into being. And, of course, that's like the full program of preparation, when both parents prepare themselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically to be in their ultimate shape by the time they conceive. So the quality of the sperm and the quality of the egg could be in its utmost ultimate shape. So that's where conscious conception starts. But if it did not start, then it's not a moment too soon. Even if it starts in the third trimester of the pregnancy, there is still a lot that can be done to bring that baby in with full awareness of the implications of what parents' actions, thoughts, diet, habits are doing to the baby. Understanding the responsibility of our own state of being and how the baby will automatically absorb our behavioral patterns, our anxieties. So the sooner we start clearing all that toxicity out of our system, the more chances this baby will have to thrive. And that's the whole point, that we need to, after birthing that baby beautifully, we need to be able to continue taking care of that baby beautifully. Yeah. And if we're scheduling, for example, elective C-section, it means that the mother will unavoidably will go through some form of postpartum depression, which means that her ability to bond and attach will be compromised. So the baby will be dealing with emotionally unavailable mother after being born.
And in your film, you showed examples of people preparing and healing their own birth. You talk about mother's own birth will affect her at birth. Could you talk about that?
Yes, that's the thing. The main part of preparation for conscious birth is dealing with parents' own birth trauma, because that same mechanism of limbic imprint allows or does not allow a woman to know everything she needs to know about giving birth. So pregnancy activates a woman's own anxiety about birth if she was not born well. So in the 9 months of pregnancy, she has this amazing opportunity to heal all the behavioral patterns that she ever acquired throughout her life. And it's very, very good time, because all of her systems, all her neurobiology and hormonal landscape are in transition. They're shifting. They're very resilient and flexible. So in that time, she is most susceptible to all the changes that she needs to acquire. For a pregnant woman, it's not very difficult to rewire her whole nervous system to what she actually wants it to be. And I teach workshops that allow people in 2, 3, 4 days to completely rewrite the script of their stories and start from scratch, create a new limbic imprint. And it's sort of like deleting old software and buying a new one and installing it. That's the most effective way, I think, to deal with this old programming. But going back to conscious birth, I came to the conclusion that conscious birth can be whatever form it takes. It doesn't have to be home birth. It doesn't even have to be natural birth, because in our day and age, we have a lot of conditions that women have to have C-section. We are pretty degraded as a species health-wise. We're not supposed to be in such a bed of a shape, because our bodies are designed for a lot of physical activity every day, you know, climbing the trees to reach the fruit and the nuts, and running barefoot on earth for miles and miles to get the our lunch, to get the prey. Our bodies were created to be sufficient for a very different lifestyle than we created now. So our lifestyles now are actually supporting a lot of physiological dysfunction. So we have lots of car accident injuries. We have a lot of sports injuries among us, all kinds of diseases that did not exist before. So with that scale, there is maybe 5 to percent of women that do require C-section. So even that C-section can be done consciously with the full understanding and connection with the baby, and when the mother keeps talking and communicating and assuring the baby that she is going to be there and that's everything going to be okay, and the lights could be dimmed down and the noises could be eliminated. The delivery room doesn't have to be so loud and create so many sensory overloads for the baby, because babies are about 3 times more sensitive than adults.
How many times?
Everything. Babies are about 150 times more sensitive than adults, because all their sensory apparatus is still brand new and it's all raw and open, and it's not dulled yet by all the life's experiences and numbness that comes in with all those sensory overload that we have to deal with.
Could you explain how a cesarean section might adversely imprint on a baby? I mean, many people assume that it would be easier than a normal birth on the baby.
Well, there is actually a lot of research that is published by the pioneers of prenatal psychology. The easiest way to get information is on birthpsychology.com. And people like David Chamberlain and William Emerson, Thomas Verney, Ray Castellina, these are the people who academically studied and researched thousands of people and babies, and they basically come to the same conclusion that with even seeming physical safety, when doctors don't actually necessarily cut off baby fingers and toes during the surgery, that happens more times than we care to acknowledge in medical journals. But with even when that is not happening, the emotional and psychological trauma on the baby is immense, because the birth is the rite of passage for the baby. The birth activates basically all the systems in the baby's body. It activates such things that are not measurable in medical terms, like zest for life, for example, or surviving mechanisms, the desire to be creative, to be motivated, to be active in life. When a baby is born through C-section, they have this their comfort zone becomes sort of sit back and wait until somebody else will do everything. And
so it sort of removes the baby's ability to initiate and actually get itself born.
Yeah.
Sort of becomes a passive object rather than an active participant.
Yeah. And basically, from the perspective of limbic imprint...
Elena, you're breaking up a little bit. I guess you're on a cell phone?
No, I'm on radio phone. Oh. But I do hear some static. Maybe it's weather.
Okay.
What I'm coming to the conclusion, reading all the available material, that C-section actually is the best form of...
I'm sorry, the best form of what?
Crowd control.
Oh, crowd control.
Yeah.
So it creates passive human beings.
It creates a very sort of laid-back population.
Do you think circumcision has a similar effect?
And then tip it off with the circumcision, and you have the nation that if they're told to march and start a war and kill somebody, they don't question. They just march and start killing people.
And I would like to add, because I do the Castellino method, I trained with Dr. Castellino, that I always try to give the hope of healing, and I know you do healing as well, because when we start talking about this, people automatically will begin to feel resistance and feel the pain of their birth. And so I really want people to know that even though the circumcision, the unconscious birth, the C-sections and other things are traumatizing, there's a lot out there. There are a lot of modalities for healing, and you can overcome them.
Well, that's the whole point. That's why we're talking about it. Because unless we know what happened, we don't even know that we need healing to come in. And the best news here is that limbic imprint is the mammalian mechanism. But then we have also our cortex. We're also humans, not just mammals. And that human part in us absolutely has the ability to prevail and find healing and achieve enormous, enormous depths of spiritual alignment with the spirit's intention to embody. Because actually when I look at the process of conception and everything we know about that mechanism of conception, amazing thing comes to mind, that with everything we know, there should not be any people on this planet Earth. It's such an incredibly complex chain of events. It's a huge, huge, long set of circumstances that needs to happen just so, at the right temperatures, at the right densities, in the right direction, at the sperm needs to overcome hundreds of thousands of obstacles on the way to even finding the egg. And then that egg is the most impenetrable wall in this universe. She is just hanging in there in this, in her own universe, as a field of pure potentiality. She is just there, right? And she has this most deep sleep. She's dormant as long as she existed, from the moment that woman was 5-month-old fetus in her mother's belly. That's when the egg is formed. And she is dormant this whole time. And by the time the sperm finally overcomes all those enormous amount of obstacles and she finds herself facing that sperm, right? She has to open up. And that is the greatest mystery under the sun. Because what makes her open is absolutely not understood. There is no explanation other than the spirit wants to come in somehow. There is no biological or chemical explanation to the recognition that happens between them, the sperm and the egg. They have to fall in love with each other and create this incredible electromagnetic charge that is like lightning, strikes both of them, and that lightning breaks a hole in her through which he had this moment, this tiny window of opportunity to slip through and melt into her and cease to exist and make her explode in ecstasy, and that's what divides her in two.
It's a miracle.
It is.
And it really is. And this is a really poor time to do this, but we have to take a station break. maybe it's a good time where people can kind of think about that. Wow, the miracle of that. And I want to let people know that this is KOPN 89.5, and we're on Thought Crime Radio, the voices for the human rights of babies. And we're talking to Elena Tonetti, who is the filmmaker of Birth as We Know It. And I'd also like to let people know that that film is available at Daniel Boone Library here in Columbia, Missouri. And we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
All right.
I'm brought to you by listener support and a donation from the Missouri Theater Center for the Performing Arts. Coming to the Missouri Theater on March 10th at 8 p.m., legendary harmonica player Phil Wiggins and guitarist-songwriter Corey Harris. Together, they form the ultimate acoustic blues duo. Tickets and more information available at mothetor.org or at 573-875-0600.
Tune in every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. to Women's Issues, Women's Voices, Mid-Missouri's feminist talk show. That's every Thursday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for the best in female-centric conversation here on 89.5 FM, KOPN Columbia. Would you like some help setting up an email account or finding something on the web? The Columbia Public Library offers weekly drop-in sessions to answer your questions on Tuesdays from noon to 1:30 p.m. in the Training Center of the Columbia Library. Call 573-443-3161 for more information. Self-guided study using interactive tutorials are also available on the website at dbrl.org.
And aside from the Daniel Boone Regional Library, the DVD we're talking about is also available online at birthaswenowit.com.
So welcome back, Elena.
Elena, are you there?
I heard some clicking. Uh-oh.
Sounds like white noise.
It was kind of an iffy connection once
in
a while.
Yeah, it was. I guess I'll try it again. Yeah, we lost it.
We've lost her?
Yep.
So I have to fill dead air?
Yeah. Sorry.
Uh-oh. Well, we're talking to Elena Tanetti, who is the filmmaker for Birth as We Know It, and it's a very extraordinary movie that talks about conception, shows images, talks about conscious conception, conscious gestation, conscious birthing, and really shows how it's so vital that anyone who's considering having a baby to prepare any time before that you conceive. And but she also shows that once you've conceived, and if it wasn't the idyllic like she's talking about, there are all kinds of things that you can do during the pregnancy to prepare to have a conscious conception or a conscious birth. And she talks about in the film about how conscious how at conception there's a need for the baby to be wanted and to come into a union where people want this baby, and that gives the baby the best start. And then to have women who are moving in their bodies and dancing and moving through the traumas of their own life and the stresses and being supported by their family and friends is so critical. Maybe you should talk while I get on the line.
You want to
take over talking about
yes.
conscious gestation, caring for women during pregnancy?
You know, to the casual listener or the new listener, this may sound like a bunch of a couple of old hippies, you know, invoking the spirits of the cosmos. But I guess in a sense we are. It's just that those spirits really are embedded in physical reality. And my background personally is in the sciences, and I've come to understand that all of what we're talking about here is on very solid scientific footing. And the fact that American obstetrics has yet to acknowledge this, I find baffling. And like I say, it's definitely had a terrible impact on our society in terms of violence, domestic abuse, divorce rates, drug addiction. Drug addiction, both stimulants and depressants are radically the likelihood of addiction to stimulants and depressants are closely related to the use of obstetrical drugs during birth. So the imprinting process that we're talking about pervades every aspect of the infant's experience,
I was just checking. It looks like we're not going to be able to get her back on the air. We only have 15 minutes. You want to take some callers?
Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
Let's take some callers.
Yeah, that's right. We have a phone line.
You can call us at 443-8255, which is 443-TALK. If you'd like to call in and talk to me and Rich, we don't have our guest, but you can talk to us.
And we'll try not to lose you.
Anyway, you can go to www.birthaswenowit.com and see a trailer of her film. You can get it at Daniel Boone Library, and you can read about her work. It's an extraordinary film, because I think what's really important is to look at our society's fighting between home birth or hospital birth as the best, as the safest, as or the doctor or the midwife as the safest, when in fact we need to start talking about consciously bringing human beings into this planet and at birth treating them with respect and not harming them. And like she said, you can have a cesarean, you can have a forceps delivery, you could have epidural, you could have any of those things that maybe are necessary. But if the mother and the father and the caregivers, the doctor at the hospital, the nurse at the hospital, or the midwife at the hospital, or the midwife at home, if those people see that this is a soul coming in to the planet through these two people, that this is sacred birth, which is what her film is about, if those people attending the birth and the parents see this baby as an amazing being coming into this planet, they will treat the baby with respect. You can do a C-section with respect. You can do forceps. If that's what's needed, you can do forceps or the vacuum extraction. I mean, most people who are conscious and aware of the baby being so impacted by it will do things differently. So I believe that there would be a less chance. There would be less babies that need the C-section, less babies that need the forceps. But if you have to, they can do that with regard for the baby. They can acknowledge that the baby is in pain. And then after the baby is here, the most important thing that these caregivers could do that takes it to a whole other level from talking about home birth versus hospital birth is that they could have the agenda and the commitment and the focus and the goal to keep the mother and the baby together, to make sure that they preserve and respect that mother-baby bond that is so critical for so many things.
And yep.
So many things, like the keeping the cord intact, the breastfeeding, and the mother and the baby. The mother and the baby have a moment where the baby and the mother are meant to make eye contact. And what that does is the baby imprints to the mother and the mother imprints to her baby. And that is hardly ever done. Ever, ever, ever in the hospital. And sometimes happens at home, but unless that baby is just brought right up to the mother, that mother and that baby are missing something. And yes, you can have a cesarean, you can have the epidural, and you, those of us who have had babies and they were ripped from our arms and taken away, yes, we love our children. Our children are wonderful. We have wonderful relationships with them. But it could be better. And if we look around our society, we see the consequence of taking babies away from their mother and not letting them have that moment when her eye contact with that baby reconnects them outside the womb and triggers hormones in that mother and baby, and it triggers something in the brain, that limbic system that we've been talking about, turns on.
It's the first stimulus of the mirroring network, which is the network in the brain which is concerned with modeling or simulating other people's experiences, and it's the basis of human empathy. And the first thing they do, typically in an obstetrical ward, is to take the baby away from the mother, you know, weigh it, draw blood, circumcise it, and wrap it up in a tight cloth and abandon it in a isolation chamber down the hall. And, you know, there's a reason that babies cry in the hospital a lot.
There's a reason they cry when they get home. They're telling their story. That's the only way that babies can communicate. Look at a baby in the hospital. Next time you see a baby, watch that baby. Look at go to YouTube and look at births and watch the births. You will see them suctioning and doing all these things to the baby, and the baby's arms are they have closed fists. They're crying. They're pushing. They're trying to get away, and they're saying, "Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!" And Elena told us that 100 times more, the baby is 100 times more sensitive. 150 more times more sensitive than we are. So this belief that babies don't remember, and it doesn't matter that just because you have a medical license or an RN license or a midwifery license that you can do something to a baby because you think it's necessary, and therefore the baby doesn't remember, so that before birth and after birth we have expectations of how to treat a baby but not in the hospital. Those babies are experiencing even more than we would. If I came up to you, Rich, and just started like rubbing your face with a towel, and it would be 150 times less sensitive than if I did it to a newborn, which happens every day, hundreds of thousands of times every day in this culture.
And it would be, remembered on an unconscious level, something that the baby, you know, and the adult that he grows into will be, it will affect their perception of their future experiences for the rest of their lives, unless, you know, it's something that can be worked through.
And the healing of it is actually so simple that it's profound, and it's letting the baby tell their story. A newborn baby or a two-month-old baby or a three-month-old baby, especially the 2 to 4-month-old baby, is very capable of telling their story. And at that point, parents are always telling their story, the mother especially is telling her story. And the baby starts crying and telling their story, and they get hushed, they get fed, they get put to the breast or put to the bottle, and shush, 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 shush. And then they cry and cry and cry, and the baby is telling their story, because the baby's brain has a billion neurons when it's born, and it experiences that experience, and it wires up that experience. They just don't have the language yet.
Yeah, just because babies don't talk doesn't mean they're unconscious. They are fully conscious, especially, you know, like you were talking about in a previous show, the difference between a home birth baby and a hospital born baby is obvious just from looking at their eyes.
And you can see that clearly in Elena's film, the difference between there's a cesarean birth of twins in there, and then there are multiple babies being born, and you can see with the babies being born in a conscious way, there is no coaching, there is no cheering and people chattering and singing and doing it. People, the caregivers and the parents, are so reverent because they know that everything being said and done is going to imprint that baby's brain. And the most important thing at that point is to create unity with the mother and the father and the baby. And everything being done in the hospital setting today creates disunity, creates dis-ease, creates warriors.
Isn't that interesting? Do you suppose that's an accident?
And that's where you came up with the name Thought Crime Radio, because that's the time, as she said, when it's the doctor who's doing all these things to the baby. The baby thinks, that's who's going to help me. That's why I have to keep going to the hospital, even though they don't know, they don't acknowledge my pain, they give me drugs, they do surgery, and nothing helps. I have to keep going back and going back and back.
Yeah, child abuse really is an integral part of the social structure of this country, unfortunately. We live in a system which repetitively creates generation after generation of traumatized people who go on to have children who they in turn traumatize. And the effects of all this trauma is to put everyone in a fearful mode, unable to experience empathy to as great a degree. And so we're all isolated individuals, alienated from our neighbors, you know, watching TV at night and soaking up whatever propaganda is being fed to us, whatever lies, you know. Everyone is trusting strangers in distant places of the world to tell them what's going on in the world while they feed them, while they give them their tax dollars. And all this is about a massive amount of social control that's going on. Our hard-won labors, the fruits of our sweat and blood, are being sent to strangers in strange lands in order to do things that we know nothing about, in which they are systematically lying to us about. and that's the way it is. And one way to try to reclaim some control of our lives would be to recognize that the true nature of power is not about guns and missiles. Power in a social system is the ability to self-organize with your neighbors in your neighborhood. That's the meaning of power in a complex system. It's all about self-organization.
Well, to bring that home, are you aware that there's a bill in the Missouri Senate to illegalize midwifery again?
Really? I did not know that.
You didn't? Yeah. Speaking of power, because you know what, when you give birth consciously and you have a birth like she shows in her film, Elena shows in her film, you have women who are powerful. When you have a father who attends his home birth and he is the mid-husband, as one of my friends says he is, because he was there for his baby's birth and he was the one who caught his baby and he is that baby's father, that is a power that they do not want us to have. I've heard recently, I was at a Baha'i meeting and the speaker was talking about something else, but he said once you reach 10% of people getting something, then it starts to change. And we're getting there with home birth and natural birth.
And that's why this is called Thought Crime Radio, because this is an extremely, you know, treating children right, treating children as the divine gifts that they are coming from somewhere.
And there's an attempt to keep us from being empowered, to keep, because, you know, once women become empowered by their bodies giving birth, they become very powerful women.
You know, this
and they're
really
not wounded women who are angry, who are passive, who are shut down,
who are alienated from their own children and husband,
and alienated from their own body.
Yeah.
And so many times the mother has so much she's felt abandoned. She's felt like the father abandoned her, and they don't have words for it. And she feels terrible that her child was taken away, and she doesn't have words for it because we're told it's normal. It's normalized abuse, as Marilyn Milo says, and there's no place to heal in our society. There's no place to really talk to people about this and get verified. Like, yeah, it's true, and that's what we're here for, is to verify for you. Yeah, you were wounded.
It's real.
And the stuff that you feel right now, most likely, most of it is rooted in your primal period of your life when your early brain was developing, and you don't have the words for it sometimes now, but it gets acted out.
But the hardest part for men anyway to acknowledge, and women as well, is the fact that there are some things that we can't heal from, such as the amputation of our...
You can heal.
Well, I don't know. I mean, physically, I mean.
You can heal physically.
You cannot heal physically from circumcision.
You can heal on a soul level. And you can heal, just like you can heal from the cesarean and all these other things that she were talking about. You can heal.
But the effect...
And you know what? It's hard work.
I know.
And it's a shame. It's criminal that so many men in our society have this wounding. But yes, you can heal.
But the effect, you know, with a little reflection, you will see how this can adversely impact the cohesion of a marriage. If the man is not getting his spiritual connection to his woman through the normal physiological processes of sex, this is just a terrible wounding of the marriage itself.
And the biggest part of it is acknowledgement. And we're running out of time. Gosh, when we lost our guest, we sort of stumbled around here, and now we got going, and we have to stop.
I think we could
go for another hour.
We need to devote another show to just us, I think.
So we're gonna we are going to sign off here, and up next are the tech guys who are waiting in the wings to get in here. And we appreciate you listening in. Our guest was Elena Tonetti, and her website is www.birthaswenowit. Check out her film.
Birthaswenowit.com.
Birthaswenowit.com. It's available at the Daniel Boone Library, or at least it was at the beginning of the hour. Hopefully it's going to be a long waiting list. Thank you very much for listening to Thought Crime Radio.
We'll see you next week.